Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
You guys, today is Friday the 13th, but no need to freak out because it is time for Daily Pop. I'm Erin Lim. Carissa is off, so I'm joining Justin and Morgan today. Guys, thanks so much for having me. We are kicking things off with the Grey's Anatomy shocker that blew our minds last night. McDreamy is back, and is Meredith Grey dead-ish? At the end of last night's premiere on ABC, Meredith collapsed in the parking lot. We don't know if she's dying or just dreaming, but she was visited by a very special Mick someone. Take a look.
By the way, you know the producers were like, pull up Patrick Dempsey's Instagram account. Let's make sure he's still hot. Because if McDreamy was McDroopy, they would not have had him back.
Okay, but here's my question. Did I miss something? Do you actually age in heaven when you're dead? Because he's clearly not the McDreamy that died how many years ago? 15 years ago?
Oh, that was the wrong answer? I mean, he still looks unbelievable, right? Like, it really, I feel like he's one of those people that just gets better with age regardless.
Very, very hot. Do you think, you know, do you like when the characters return to the show, or do you feel like they're just totally losing their way?
Look, I grew up on daytime TV. I watched Young and the Restless and Passions. Everybody who grew up watching that stuff is like, this ain't shit. I've seen a man come back to life after being frozen in ice for 5 years, and I didn't question one thing about it. Okay, we're used to this. We want that soapy moment.
Okay, how about the moment when Izzy had sex with the ghost of Denny Duquette? Like, do you remember that moment? That was a moment that will never really die. But yeah, Grey's really did that.
Well, let's be real. That was payback. You know, now we know that Shonda Rhimes and Katherine Heigl weren't really getting along as well as we thought they were. So she was like, you know what? I'm going to make this bitch sleep with her ex-man on TV.
Oh, my gosh. I think that's right about when I stopped watching. So I was very surprised to see McDreamy return. Exciting for the fans, the loyal fans, the Tanya Rads of the world. I literally texted her this morning. But I feel like she wasn't even that excited because she's like, I didn't watch it yet. She's like, I'm waiting to watch it this morning. So must have not been a huge deal. Okay. The big question now, is Meredith going to die? Is she dead? Ellen Pompeo has hinted that this could be the final season of the show, and she played very coy when Jimmy Kimmel asked if Meredith is dead.
You can't tell us. All right. Do you know?
Yes.
Okay. Were you at work today?
No.
No. Were you at work yesterday?
Yes.
Oh. Okay, good. Then you're alive. Or... or maybe you're a ghost haunting the hospital, or maybe you're in a coma or something like that. Wouldn't that be, would you like that if you got to be just in a coma and sleep for like half a season?
Huh?
Maybe I hit on it there, I don't know.
Okay, I think she's obviously just trying to avoid the spoilers. She doesn't want to give it away. But are we seeing the beginning of the end of Grey's Anatomy?
I think we're seeing the end of her or the beginning of the end of her. I feel like if she's going to go through this whole storyline, I don't really feel like I see her coming. And by the way, I'm not like the biggest Grey's fan, so this could be completely wrong. But I just feel like she's done the show for a long time now. She's already hinted at not wanting to do it anymore. I could see this sort of being like, you know what, this is kind of her chapter is coming to a close here, unfortunately. I don't think she's going to go back and just be a regular cast member. I just think, how many times can you really do this?
Well,
you know, with your main cast?
How are you going to have some anatomy without no Grey? And I've seen that paycheck, and she making a good little coin.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody passing that up. And I think when we heard about Ellen Pompeo wanting to leave the show, I think she honestly had some loyalty to Shonda Rhimes, and now we know she was probably in her feelings about what happened with that Disneyland Fast Pass, you know what I mean? Because Shonda Rhimes didn't get that extra Disneyland Fast Pass.
Yeah.
So I think she was like, you know what, I'm a ride for my girl, I'm gonna hint that I'm gonna leave, and let me see what's gonna happen. But Ellen Pompeo knows these jobs don't come around very often. Ellen Pompeo also knows she got two kids to put through college. So I don't think Ellen Pompeo is going to walk away from this bag.
I mean, it's a crazy bag. Well, we're talking like 40 mil. She is the highest paid actress on television. Like, I think if she was going to leave, she would have left years ago to try and explore new opportunities. But she's at the age where she spent her entire career practically on this show. What else is she going to do? I don't think we could separate ourselves from her being Meredith. So I think she's going to stay. We've seen her almost die on this show before. They're just trying to spice it up. We are in the how many seasons now?
Well,
now like
she
200.
Got a lot of time to think about it. She's going to be in a coma for a minute.
God. And still collecting.
In a coma.
Yes, that's how you do it. That's a boss move. Like, just put me in a coma, but I still want the paycheck.
Yes.
All right. Well, here's a pretty awful thing to hear the night before your wedding. Princess Diana's astrologer claims Prince Charles told Diana he did not love her. In ITV's new documentary, The Diana Interview, Revenge of a Princess, Penny Thornton reportedly says Diana told her Charles said it because he didn't want to go into the marriage on a false premise. First of all, do we believe this?
100% I believe this. I definitely think that this happened. I feel like first of all, I just want to put it out there that some British random publication said that I was a royal expert on Daily Pop. I don't want Melanie Bromley to be upset about that. That just came through my desk 2 days ago. Two different people said that just because I watched The Crown. So I'm very, very excited.
You're growing into that role.
Yes.
I like it for you.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't want it. It's just this one thing has sort of worked out for me. I do believe, getting back to the original point, I do believe that he said this. I mean, at the end of the day, Prince Charles did not want to marry Princess Diana. He wanted to be with Camilla Parker Bowles, but the family turned that away. They were the ones that shut down that idea and didn't feel like she was a suitable wife. So he had to pursue Diana, get married to her, have children with her, because that's essentially who they chose. So I think he probably did say something along the lines of, like, this is some sort of arrangement. We both know this.
Yeah.
And we're going to do our best. We're going to, you know, spawn children. And that's kind of the end of that. So I'm not shocked by this at all.
And I agree with you. I think she did have an astrologer, and I think he did say that.
Fabulous.
But I also think that she had a gay at that door that was like, hey, girl, I know you don't want to go through this, but we already spent $2.3 million on these flowers, so I'm going to need you to walk your ass through this church, say I do, get lit at the reception, and then we're going to talk about all this tomorrow.
Yeah. That dress also.
Oh my gosh, that dress. But I feel like it was something where she just accepted, yeah, this is the role I'm gonna have to play. I'm literally going to be acting from this point out. Like, she even says, we were a relationship of three. It was crowded. And I think that is so sad. And I could not go through with the wedding. I mean, do you think she had a choice, though?
I don't think
no.
she had a choice. And this is what I think Prince Charles was actually doing to her. Have you ever been in a relationship with a dude and, like, at the end of the relationship, the guy does everything in his power for you to break up with him because he doesn't want to be the bad guy?
Yes.
Prince Charles was hoping that this 20-year-old Diana Spencer was going to be like, you know what? I can't do this either. I don't want to be in this relationship. That way, Prince Charles wouldn't have to go through this. He was a coward, and he put that on a child.
Was he a coward, or was he bold and brave enough to say, look, I really am doing this just to fulfill my family's wishes, but I have no love and attraction for you. Therefore, like, I don't want to have to try and tiptoe and, like, fake it for you. Like, look, you're my wife on paper, but I've got a lover else. elsewhere.
Yeah, I kind of think that's, I don't think it was one of those things. Like, I think he, first of all, she had no choice. She's 20 years old. I mean, that's the biggest wedding in the entire world when it happens. Like, everybody gathers around to watch that. I definitely think he loved her in a way and definitely was attracted to her. I just feel like he was madly in love with someone else for years before. I mean, imagine, like, being plucked from your current relationship right now, Aaron, with somebody that you love. Let's say you weren't engaged and had to marry someone else. That's exactly what it was. So, yeah. I mean, I know that we've painted Charles in history as kind of like the bad guy, but like that was pretty hard on him too, I'm sure, as well as Camilla.
Yeah, but imagine if Diana would have called off the wedding.
She could never have.
But even if she wanted to, she wouldn't have any say in how the narrative was painted. She's not going to go up against the royal family,
the most powerful
family in the world. So even if her man was like, hey, I hate you, I'm going to beat you every day, and you're like, you're going to love it, she still would have had to walk down that aisle because she was probably scared that they were going to tarnish her name and screw with her family.
And Charles would say that. That's kind of what happened, right? At the end, she wasn't a match for them. They kind of did whatever they wanted, so.
It's all just very sad, like, hearing her account about it. And, of course, we're going to hear more about their love story. It's going to play out on Netflix when The Crown returns this weekend.
Thank God.
And Emma Corrin, who plays Diana, is a fashionista to watch. At the show's virtual premiere, which was basically everyone setting up red carpets in their homes, Emma went head-to-toe in a bold Miu Miu outfit. What do you guys think of this look?
When I was looking at the original article that was sent through, I didn't see this at first, and then I saw it and I was like, that's an interesting choice, but I felt like it was so 60s London. It was such an ode to a different time. I loved it. It was so fun. It's not like what you typically would expect. It was so different from what everyone else wore, but she's so cute. She's got the cutest little figure. I think it really made sense.
Oh, 100%. I think it worked. In these virtual Zoom moments, you gotta make a splash. You gotta do something memorable. Not Jeffrey Toobin memorable, but you gotta do something memorable, okay? So people are gonna remember it. Like we will remember Jeffrey Toobin.
I am not high fashion or rich enough to quite understand the look.
But you got skinny legs and you can work it.
I don't know if I could work it.
You could work it in 2 seconds. Oh, please.
I would have maybe done something also bold with my hair and my makeup and also my nails. I know we're in quarantine. She's adorable, and I think this works for her. I do not know if it works for me. I could maybe see Morgan in this.
By the way, speaking of clothes, how'd you get this wardrobe budget for the show?
You know, we're not talking about budget. We got to go to a commercial, okay? Coming up, Rihanna naked and hanging out on Venus. Say what? We are making sense of Pharrell's bizarre comment about Riri Plus. Have you heard of Ashley Nicolette Frangipani? Well, what about Halsey? That is the same person. We've got the real reason why she changed her name. Was it a smart move? We will keep the party going when we come back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Rihanna gets a lot of praise, and rightfully so. But what Pharrell's saying about her is really out of this world, literally. Pharrell's working with Ri on her highly anticipated 9th album, thank God. And he tells Allure magazine out November 24th, quote, "She's from a different world. I'm willing to bet, because Venus is gaseous, that if they had a telescope that could zoom through all that ish, you'd see Ri lying there naked." What is he saying?
Can we zoom and see where her album is?
Please, do that? What is this man saying? Is this a compliment?
If I was Pharrell's wife, I would call Amazon. I would order the nicest telescope ever. I would put it in his office, and then I would say, there you go. I got this for you since you want to see her naked. Now you sit here until you find her naked ass on Venus.
Oh, my God. Listen, when you read it back, Aaron, it made a little bit more sense. He was being complimentary to her, obviously. Yes. I feel like it was just him saying, like, look, like, she's on her own shit. She's got her own stuff. She's otherworldly. Like, if you could, this is how I view her. If she was on a different planet, she'd be, like, sprawled out naked. Like, it's coming together for me more this morning.
This is
it's
how
like,
we
I get
her.
It. Okay. Yes. So this is how we all kind of view her, right?
Naked I
view,
and out of this world.
No. I view Rihanna naked and out of this world. And I'm the only one, Rihanna, I just want you to know between you and me, since we like know each other at this point, I'm not pressed about your album. I'm not. You can bring it whenever you want or not. You know, no pressure from me.
You know, and now I'm gonna need this album, and then I'm gonna need Pharrell to like clarify what he's saying. He is a married man. For you to be thinking about this woman naked, I'm sure you know her intimately. You're working really closely with her. You are like one of the most brilliant producers out there. So I trust that like good things are happening. But yeah, to mention a naked woman in an interview like that,
I don't know. I didn't think it was inappropriate.
Every cousin I had would be at that studio from here on out, okay? You're gonna bring Lakeisha and LaTanya, and they're gonna be with you 24/7.
I agree with
and
you.
And you're gonna pay them.
Yeah, I kinda agree with you on that one.
Okay.
Like, don't be mentioning naked women on other planets.
I disagree with both of you heavily on this.
No, because you can DM an alien.
You can
definitely thirst an alien, so.
Please take Justin's word for it,
Scorpio.
You guys.
I wish
here.
I was an alien right now.
You wish you were an alien right now? Yeah, peace out.
I feel like an alien right now, actually.
It's Friday. I'm feeling alien-like as well. All right, moving on. You may think you know Halsey because of her music, but did you know her real name is Ashley Nicolette Frangipani? Mm. And the reason she changed it is actually a little sad. She tells Cosmopolitan she thought that being Ashley wasn't enough. Quote, at the time, I felt that Ashley didn't deserve to be famous and successful because she wasn't special. But if I made Halsey, maybe she could be. What do you think?
We just talked about this so like the other day, Justin. I mean, I think this is kind of the same thing that we talked about with Kylie Jenner. I feel like a lot of celebrities separate the people that they are. First of all, most celebrities before they are celebrities, I shouldn't say most, all of them are people before they become celebrities, right? They all have the same insecurities. They all don't have the wardrobe and makeup budget. They come from different socioeconomic backgrounds. Like, you grow into this persona people love you for, but you're not always this person. And the person that you start out being still is inside of you. So I completely understand the separation of persona. It's exactly going back to the Kylie thing. Kylie said, listen, I felt like I was really myself. And now as I've gotten more famous, I've taken on this sort of persona. It's a formula that works for me. It's what people respond to. And I don't feel that I'm being judged for my real self. So I get
100%.
It. I get the Halsey Ashley separation there. It's kind of almost a survival instinct.
Yeah, I don't think she even realized that she was protecting herself at that moment. I think she thought, oh my God, no one's gonna be like, oh my God, Ashley, yeah, that girl. I think she made this whole thing up because she knew that it would take her to the next level. But I think when she looks back on it, like you said, a name is kind of sort of the most intimate thing that you have in your life. It's a thing that's been with you the longest.
It
was
given
to you by somebody else. And I think when you protect that name, like, people can hate Halsey. People can love Halsey. They'll never know Ashley. They'll never be able to hate Ashley. So you can protect that part of you. It's kind of sort of the reason why I use the lady sitter. Like, he's much sassier than Justin.
Yeah.
He's much more, you know, ready to tell you like it is than Justin. And if people say, I don't like the lady sitter, he's too sassy, I'm like, I don't care. Take it out with him. After 2 o'clock, I'm cool. I'm good. I'm Justin.
It's almost like putting on a superhero outfit where you don't have to reveal your true identity. You can be confident. You can be whoever you want. Like, when I go out, I'm Libby. Like, who is Aaron Libb? Like, I am another person. And I have another job and another everything.
I met that.
And you might have met Libby. If you met Libby, she's
Libby
a great
Langston.
Time. Do not listen to Justin. But I totally get it. And sometimes, like, you want to put on your rock star outfit and, like, just change everything. But, like, at your core, it's like, oh, okay, I am the small town girl
she
that didn't have.
She in Skims.
She's in Skims. Stop it. You are that small town girl that maybe didn't have access to these things. And I understand also what she's saying. But it is kind of sad to think that she wasn't worthy. Like, with just
I feel like most people who seek fame don't feel worthy. I think that's kind of the recipe. Nobody's like, I am so confident, I'm ready to take this on. It's like, oh, right. Am I good enough? How do I have this position? It's the same, all ties into the imposter syndrome. Everyone who has any sort of front-facing position, whether on TV or you're a performer, everyone deals with that on some level. So to me, not surprising.
Oh, look who's using her therapy for good.
Thank you for therapizing us.
Yes. I'm just so damn intelligent sometimes. Dr. I hate it.
Oh, she's going to be a mother, and she's already just so maternal. I love it. All right, still ahead, Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling spill set secrets from their 90210 days, plus how they're supporting Brian Austin Green during his divorce drama, and which Home Alone alum is calling the reboot a waste of time. Do we agree? Let's find out next.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
So marriage is never easy, no surprise, but add the fate of the free world and it gets even harder. In his new memoir, A Promised Land, former President Barack Obama reveals the toll the presidency took on his marriage with Michelle. CNN ran excerpts of the book, including this quote: "Lying next to Michelle in the dark, I'd think about those days when everything between us felt lighter, when her smile was more constant and our love less encumbered, and my heart would suddenly tighten at the thought that those days might not return." Gosh, that's heavy. Does that surprise you? I mean, a lot of people thought they had this perfect, magical, amazing marriage, which I'm sure it is magical and amazing, but like,
hand a dude the most stressful job in the world.
Yeah.
And tell me his marriage is perfect. My first question would be, what pills are you guys on?
As a 100%.
Family, what prescription are you guys taking? I think that Michelle Obama and Barack Obama, when you go into an office this large, there must have been the most critical conversations, not only with themselves, but with their daughters about what is about to happen and what they're about to endure as a family. So I don't think that Michelle was not surprised that her marriage was strained or that things were a little bit tense. I mean, just from my own experience, and maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but when I started working for Kyle Richards, and every year what happens is the network comes to you and they say, hey, we would love for you to be a housewife again. What Kyle Richards would say is, okay, what's my deadline? And then she would find out the deadline and she would go to every member of her family, from the 4-year-old to the 25-year-old, and say, hey, can we do this as a family? Are you down with me doing this again? Because she knew that it kind of, you know, added some extra stress on her family when things were going down. And every year she would do it. And every year she would say, if one person does not want to do this, put it in this hat and I won't do this.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure the Obamas had the same kind of conversation.
Except for there was no stepping back in all those 8 years. If those kids didn't want to do it or Michelle felt tired, he signed up for this responsibility and this duty to serve our country, our nation. So
absolutely,
it's even greater weight added.
Yeah.
It's
crazy.
It is really wild.
I could be the first lady.
They made it through, though. You know what I mean? They made it through, and that's the most important thing.
Yeah. Oh, man. Power couple still. Okay, up next, we're getting you ready for this Sunday's E! People's Choice Awards. We're checking out the red carpet preps and showing you how to make some PCA-inspired cocktails for your own party.
Yes.
Plus, the video you have to see of Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake, and Christina Aguilera, why they're celebrating today. We are just 2 days away from the E! People's Choice Awards, and yesterday, I got an exclusive sneak peek at how things are going down. Take a look. Guys, I'm at the Barker Hangar where the PCAs will be taking place on Sunday. It is the load-in day and we have a lot of work to do. All right, here are the floor plans. I want the LED lights loaded in here. I want the monitors here, the step and repeat on this side. Over here, I want Juliana interviewing J-Lo as Demi Lovato is walking over here. I want my social corner to be right in the middle. And I think
that. Oh, the flowers. Lots of flowers. Did you guys get all that? As you can see, there's a lot still under construction. There are many moving parts that still have to get into place. And over here is the step and repeat where real life celebrities will be getting their pictures taken. Celebs like Chloe and Halle, Tiffany Haddish, Tyler Perry, J-Lo, Justin Bieber. Yeah, you got that yummy, yum, that yum. After all of that red carpet action, the celebs make their way inside the hangar where the actual award will be taking place. Let's see what I can get into over here. Okay, so I'm backstage, but I'm not allowed to show you the actual stage. It is top secret this year. There will be a big reveal. It's really cool. I'm looking at it right now, and I wish you guys can see what I'm seeing. But you know what I did get my hands on? 8 pounds. Of full-on brass. This is an official, legit People's Choice Award. It is beautiful, it is heavy. I am already growing muscles from holding it. Imagine taking one of these home with your name engraved in it. What an honor that would be. And now it's time to get our drink on. Here with us now is Lauren McCarroll. She's a bartender at Celeb Hotspot Warwick here in Los Angeles. The Kardashians go there. Justin Bieber, Miley Cyrus.
Justin Sylvester,
just to name a few. And in honor of the E! People's Choice Awards, you're going to show us how to make a cocktail inspired by some of the nominees.
Yes, absolutely. So our first cocktail is called Jenny from the Block. It's inspired by J-Lo, of course. So it's pretty easy to make. You're going to take just about 4 strawberry slices, drop them in your tin.
Okay.
And then you're gonna take some mint leaves in your hand. Now you're gonna give them a nice little clap before you drop them.
Oh yes, I learned this last week.
So this
opens it up.
Opens it up, right? Drop that in. And then you have your lemon juice. It's gonna be 3/4 lemon.
Yes. How long have you been there?
I was actually there since the opening, so I'm an OG. I plead the fifth. I'm not gonna blow your spot up.
Thank you.
You have the right to remain silent.
And then you're gonna take your simple syrup.
Which is this one,
right? That's the clear one right there.
Okay.
Yep. And you're gonna just drop that in. That's also 3/4.
Okay.
Lovely. And then you have your muddle. You're gonna just give it a gentle press.
This already smells so good.
Right? All fresh ingredients. Mm. So it's kind of healthy, you know?
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
But where's the alcohol? That's what I
want to
know.
Oh, it's coming. Okay. Don't even worry.
I was like, come on, girl.
And so then you're going to take your gin.
Okay. Ooh,
that's the clear one. Perfect. Drop that bad boy
right in
there.
I've never had gin before at 11 o'clock.
I won't tell anyone.
Oh, man.
The lie detector determined that was a lie.
And then you're going to add your ice. Put your top on there.
Oh, I'm scared of this part.
Don't be scared. Just make sure it's tight. Give a nice little.
Right. Yes.
Perfect. So you're diluting it while chilling it. And you're just gonna pop that off. You might have to keep your top on because mine's a little different.
Yep.
You wanna strain it in there?
Yeah, you're gonna strain it right until that martini glass.
Ooh.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Right? How pretty, right?
Yeah, that's really pretty.
Yeah.
Wow. But why is mine?
Wow.
Oh, mine's not as diluted.
Oh.
I like mine a little stronger, ladies.
You didn't get that shake.
Maybe
on,
you just press your strawberries a little bit more.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah, you just have a little
Do
more strawberry.
Do I garnish this with
anything? Yeah, so here, you have your mint sprigs. You're gonna slap that. So again, open it up.
Slap in the base.
This is so fragrant and just like really refreshing smelling. I can't wait to taste this. At what point do we get to taste this?
Oh, right now.
Oh my God,
we're already in that. Oh, we're already drinking. Okay.
This is amazing.
Wow, this is dangerous, seriously.
It's good, right?
Dangerous.
This is so good.
This is one of my favorite cocktails.
I could probably drink 4 of these.
Okay, so next we have The Warm Intentions inspired by Justin Bieber, of course. And so you're gonna take your apple slices, put them into your second tin. I'd use about 3.
All right.
And then you're going to press, and the key is to get as much juice out of the apples as you can.
Okay.
Fresh juice.
I had to put their drink down, I guess.
No wonder bartenders are like so fit. You guys are really working this.
Working.
Don't you hate it when people come to the club and they're like, can I get a Manhattan straight up with 4 shots and da-da-da-da, like they're at Starbucks?
Yes, I do, actually. And then next you're gonna take, this is a cinnamon-infused fresh ginger syrup. So like I said, we're trying to keep it healthy as possible.
Yes.
That's gonna be 1/4 ounce.
Mm-hmm.
Drop that right in there. And then next you have your honey syrup, which is one part honey, one part water.
Okay.
That's gonna be 3/4, and that's gonna, yeah, perfect.
And a little bit of lime.
Yeah, we're going into the lime. Yes. Look at you, Justin, you got it.
Dang,
I'm just
Justin.
Looking to drink.
You see the recipe already?
I'm just looking to drink.
Y'all, and I cannot wait to drink.
So it's just gonna be half an ounce.
Amazing.
Boom, drop that in. And then now we're going to the Canadian whiskey.
Yes.
Drop that in.
Ooh, Canadian whiskey. I like
you see what I'm doing here?
I can't wait to taste
this. Okay.
That Justin is Canadian.
I love it. I need a drink.
And
this
more
now.
Ice. Top that bad boy off. We're going to shake it again.
Oh, too much ice.
You guys are going to have me out of a job.
Oh my God, is this where the cinnamon
got
comes
it?
In?
I think I got it.
Okay.
And then, go ahead, I'm good, I'm great.
Why do I keep on making my drink so strong?
You're gonna strain it over the rocks glass. Get all of that in there.
And how are we making her cute? What are we garnishing this
baby? We have the cinnamon sticks right here. Lovely.
Cinnamon.
Y'all, Justin Bieber for the win, everybody. Yep.
Hey!
How's that one?
This is amazing. You guys have got, are these recipes gonna be on our website?
I mean, they can, sure.
Oh, please. You guys, so
this
good.
Is so
Lauren,
good.
Thank you so much. This was amazing. I cannot wait to drink these on PZA Day. You guys can see J-Lo and Bieber at the E! People's Choice Awards Sunday night at 9 p.m. here on E! After the break, Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling are here. Stay with us. Today marks 27 years since Britney, Justin, and Christina first appeared on the Mickey Mouse Club.
Britney, Justin, Christina.
And once we met them, there was no turning back.
I feel the need for speed!
Welcome to my kitchen. Today, I'm going to bake some brownies.
Whenever I get a chance, I like to play golf. You know, it's one of my favorite sports.
Now from our MMC concert, here's Christina with Lindsay, TJ, Justin, Britney, and Jennifer singing I Have Nothing.
See you real soon.
I sounded just like Christina when I was 10 years old, too.
Yeah. Did you guys watch the show?
This was a little bit early for us, but I remember the opening. I feel like I want to go back and watch episodes, though.
Yeah, I would watch, like, throwbacks or, like, later on. I would
catch them
and discover who they were and be like, this is what I want to do. I want to be one of them. But, of course, I didn't have the singing chops for it. What?
I just had PTSD because the camera flashed to that empty doorway, and I thought the stripper was coming in again from last Friday. I swear to God,
He's
I almost dropped my drink.
Things.
I literally almost dropped my drink. I was like, is Billy Rock back?
So the drinks are working, and now it's time. Tom is in the doorway, you guys. Cut to it, please. Please cut to Tom.
Take it on, Tom.
Take it on, Tom. Oh, my gosh. We've been drinking. Now it is time to flash back on this Friday to the OG Beverly Hills 90210 days. We were hanging with Tori Spelling and Jenny Garth to talk 90s fashion, favorite memories, and how they've stayed friends all these years.
I swear to God.
We have such a genuine, like, authentic connection to each other and to everybody that was on that show that we grew up with. So it is there. You can't deny that friendship, that camaraderie.
Jenny Garth, Tori Spelling, and the Beverly Hills 90210 gang have kept their friendships strong since the show began 30 years ago. Jenny says they are supporting Shannen Doherty as she continues to battle breast cancer.
I check on her from time to time. I know it's just kind of that unsaid bond that we're always here for her and for all of our castmates. And we, of course, are rooting for her, and she's doing great. She looks amazing. She's doing really great work to help a lot of people. So it's nice to see that.
Yeah, we love that she shares her journey and how impactful it is on other women going through the same thing.
They're also standing by Brian Austin Green in the midst of his divorce drama. Recently, Brian's ex, Megan Fox, slammed him and accused him of portraying her as an absent mother.
He's great. He's an amazing person. And you know what? I think a lot of people forget that actors are human too, and they go through the same struggles and the same things that everyone goes through, but it's just in the public eye. But we love him and we support him. and he's amazing.
And we actually texted last week. We're going to try to get a group lunch together, but you know how that is.
I already said it on your behalf. It's are week you- after next.
Great, okay, put it in my calendar.
Their calendars are extra busy as these former castmates and forever besties launch their new podcast, 90210 OMG, where they're rewatching episodes of their iconic show and giving listeners behind-the-scenes scoop along the way.
The only person I remember meeting is Brian.
Oh, geez, that's shocker. Very telling.
We just love working together. She's like my sole wife in life. We just want to keep working together. We love doing things together, creating things that are outside the box. We love watching, you know, women say, I grew up with you. You were like, you guys were like my best friend.
Who would have thought you made the cut? Certainly not my mother.
And now I'm rewatching it with my daughters. And we're both raising strong women as well. So we thought it would be really fun to kind of, as best friends, go through it together. Because neither of us have ever watched the show together all the way through.
I lost my invite in the mail. Huh?
How long are you back for?
I don't know.
You know, you just missed Valerie.
How's Brenda?
Why don't you call her and ask her?
My daughter Stella, like, she's still on season one. She loves our clothes. Well, after I pointed out that, like, the styles that are in now, that we actually set those trends. And she was like, no, this is, like, she was telling me how to wear things that, like, were, you know, styles that we created. And I was like, oh, this is how you wear it? Yeah, I know. Let me find a picture of us wearing it. And she was like, oh my God, you guys did dress like that.
Brian Austin Green was like the original Chris Evans, where they were hot, all-American, but rough around the edges, and definitely had a girlfriend, like, in, like, a rough neighborhood that they went to see, like, and snuck away with. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and there was a D-pic circulating somewhere, but it was, like, real life.
And it was, yes, 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 yes!
All right, we gotta go to a break. Up next, Tracee Ellis Ross kills it in everything she wears, so how does she do it? We're talking with the fashion icon, plus which person from the original Home Alone is calling out the reboot. That's next. I think we can agree that sometimes remakes and reboots are just not necessary. That's the message from Home Alone director Chris Columbus. When Disney Plus announced it was doing a reimagining of Home Alone, Columbus told Insider that it's a, quote, waste of time. And he's a firm believer that you don't remake films that have had longevity of Home Alone. I, for one, agree. This film can be playing for 100 years, and it is still the best. What do you think?
I agree. The same thing, too. You know, it kind of reminds me of the time when Kygo made Higher Love. And I was like, what is going on? Like, why are you remaking this Whitney Houston moment that still lives up, you know, 20 years later? I just don't think everything has to be rebooted. We just need to find fresh ideas and fresh people to come up with things.
That's the problem. It's hard to get fresh ideas. It's hard to put out good content, guys. That's the trick.
Yeah.
They don't make them like they used to. And so everyone's feeling like they have to search back and sort of like take what was successful then. It's also a little bit too much of a cheat sheet. Like, this movie's iconic. Just let it live on its own.
I know.
Figure out your own version.
I mean, it is a great formula, a formula made to win. So I guess if you're going to do a reimagining, it will be a hit for the kids of today who have no idea what Home Alone is. But, you know, just let your children watch the OG and let them know. You know where it all came from. Okay. Let's get to Tracee Ellis Ross. She is forever styling. She's getting the Fashion Icon Award at the 2020 E! People's Choice Awards this weekend. So we're looking back at her fashion evolution.
I've been a little girl that always loved playing dress up. It's all, I mean, I asked my mom. It was just ridiculous. This is like big time dress up.
Where's the carpet?
Tracee's famous mom, Diana Ross, has always been a huge fashion inspiration for her.
I love beads and feathers and drama and glamour and all of it. She's sort of influenced my ability to just be myself and not shy away from glamour and choices that I love, whether anyone else loves them or not.
Tracee was killing it in 2000, looking like a queen in this gold dress with a scarf detail. In 2004, she was all about color. She was pretty in purple, sunny in yellow, and red hot at the NAACP Image Awards. Seriously, what color can't she pull off?
Sometimes I feel shy, sometimes I feel bold, sometimes I feel sexy, sometimes I want to feel powerful, and and I think my clothing kind of reflects that.
Well, in 2011, she was feeling fierce. She took a sexy risk in this cheetah print dress at the BET Awards. 4 years later, she was white hot in a tight white dress.
I'm wearing latex and I'm so hot.
I designed the dress and these jewels, these 19 bracelets, and I think, I don't know how many rings this is, that's two, are a dear friend of mine, Lisa Eisner. This is something that I purchased. And a while ago, and I've been waiting. It's been waiting for its moment in the sun.
And that red jumpsuit, yeah, was definitely having a moment. As did Tracy's look at the 2018 CFDA Awards, proving she's always up for some fashion fun.
That was a whole other departure for me. I felt like a ballerina of sorts. I was dying in that look.
Even though she can wear pretty much anything, one color is Tracy's favorite.
I'm just really drawn to pink. It's so filled with so much joy. I love pink. I'm obviously drawn to it.
Of course, nothing made a bigger statement than her pink Emmy gown in 2018. Now, this year's Emmys were a bit different, but that didn't stop Tracy from going all out.
I feel good. Why am I talking like this? I feel good.
So fabulous. I feel like that red carpet is probably just staying there all season long.
She'll be getting a lot of awards this year.
Yes, she will. Make sure you guys check out the E! People's Choice Awards this weekend. Our coverage starts at 7 p.m. on Sunday with E! Live from the red carpet. Then the show is at 9 p.m. right here on E! You do not want to miss it. And still ahead, how a special Olympian made history at the Ironman Triathlon. Our Feel Good Friday stories are next. Today is World Kindness Day, so make sure you do something kind for someone. And it's also a special Feel Good Friday because history was made last weekend. Special Olympian Chris Nikic became the first person with Down syndrome to complete the Ironman triathlon. I mean, isn't that incredible? The 21-year-old trained for a year and completed the race in 16 hours, 46 minutes, and 9 seconds, landing himself a spot in the Guinness Book of World Records. I could never do this, no matter how long I trained.
You ever say, I can't do something,
yep.
I will point to this person and say, yes, you can.
Seriously.
Truly. Inspiring, honestly. I mean, the fact that that is no joke to be able to complete something like that.
Yeah,
no.
Super fit. Look at this guy. Oh, I'm so inspired by him. Okay, here's another incredible feat. An Instagram user posted this video of her son Ryder walking. Ryder has a rare movement disorder, and when he was 2, his parents were told he would never walk independently again. But he overcame the odds, and now look at him go.
I saw this video on Instagram, and I'm telling you right now, it turned my whole month around. I am so happy for this child, not only for his perseverance, but for the patience and the love and the determination that his parents put on him.
Absolutely.
To let him know that he could do it.
Right.
It starts at the home and it starts with us, and we have to remember that when it comes to children. This young man is doing this because not only did he persevere, but his parents stood with him.
Absolutely. After being told he couldn't, I mean, that feat alone is really incredible. So,
yeah.
Just goes to show you can't believe everything that you're told.
Exactly. I commend the parents for sure for saying, like, I don't care what you say, like, he will do this. We know he has it in him. So, so beautiful. Okay, and we all know that dogs have gotten a lot of one-on-one time with their humans this year. God, my dog has seen too much of me. You guys need to visit Dog Mountain. The Vermont resort includes, look at this, 150 acres for you and your dog to explore. You could check out the swimming ponds, the doggy agility course, or the canine art gallery.
I don't care about this one.
Morgan,
sign me up.
Your pup? Yeah?
Sign me up. This is the cutest thing in the world. Yeah, are you kidding? That's it. Done.
This is very doggy. I can imagine it a little smelly.
That seems like a lot of people.
A lot of people. All right, you guys, that is about it for us today. Monday, we'll have the E! People's Choice Awards covered like nobody else. The drama, the highlights, and everything you didn't see on TV. Plus, it's game show week on Daily Pop, and we're taking you behind the scenes of The Price is Right, Wheel of Fortune, and all your favorite shows. So make sure you don't miss Daily Pop every weekday at 11 a.m. here on E! Set your DVR now.
Yes.
Make sure you guys have a great weekend, and cheers, and make the drink and tweet us, at us.
Yes, this
cheers.
Justin Bieber one is the bomb.
Ooh, goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Bye, Morgan.